Well, once again, a very good afternoon to one and all, and we welcome each one of you to our afternoon worship. We have last considered the statement in verses 1 to 5 of John chapter 1 concerning the nature of our Lord Jesus Christ as God. And for today's, this afternoon's meditation, I shall proceed to speak of Christ's forerunner, John the Baptist, as it is in our text today from verses 6 to 13. Let us observe here the contrast between the language used about the Lord Jesus and that used about his forerunner. Christ, the Lord, we are told, that our Lord Jesus was the eternal God, the creator of all things, the source of light and life. And then concerning John the Baptist, the writer tells us simply that there was a man sent from God whose name was John. Our subject this afternoon is Christ, the true light. And the first thought is this: Christ testified by man to man. Christ testified by man to man. Jesus' advent was such a stupendous and inconceivable occurrence that God sent a special messenger to announce to the world or to inform the world of this most noteworthy of all events in all its history. God knew that Jesus' first arrival on earth was beyond human comprehension. And so in kindness, in mercy, God arranged for a special messenger to herald this news to the world just before the Son, the Lord Jesus, embarked on his earthly ministry. God, in his foreknowledge, also knew that the serpent of old, or rather the serpent of old, Satan, who caused man to fall into sin in the Garden of Eden, this old serpent would once again use all his formidable wiles and deceit to dupe the sinful human nature, human race rather, into first doubting and then disbelieving that God's Son, Jesus, who is God himself, would come to earth in human form. So God, in his mercy, arranged a unique set of prophetic criteria to prove far beyond any logical doubt that the Messiah, when he came, was indeed the Messiah and no one else. This maze of prophecies, as we see in scripture, though intricate and difficult to understand at times, was and is an insurmountable obstacle to any false claimant to be his son, God incarnate, the anointed one, the Messiah, Christ, the Savior, through whom alone the world can find salvation. One of these prophetic criteria was that the Messiah would be heralded or witnessed by a special forerunner, a man who would be the embodiment of the prophetic model of Elijah. The true claimants to the Messiah's office would first have to be heralded by Elijah. And this phenomenon would announce Christ's advent to the world and more. For it is fitting to the person of the Creator that he first be heralded to his subject by one of their fellow men before he appeared on their stage. John the Baptist was that Herod. He was the first of many unique and unforgettable signs that Jesus is the Messiah. The case against mankind for attempting to snuff out or to suppress the life of out of the life of its creator is strengthened by the fact that Christ's coming was announced by a mere man, not an angel, or rather, witnessed by a mere man and not an angel. This is very significant, for if one man, and the man is stressed in verse 6, there was a man sent from God. And so if that one man can understand that God was present amongst men, then others would have no difficulty to understand likewise. Man would have no excuse or reason to reject the fact that Christ came from heaven and took on human flesh. Verse 8, as you look at it, he was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. This verse subtly draws attention to Christ's humanity because it makes the point that it would have been possible to mistake John the Baptist for Jesus. Bear in mind, when reading verse 9, that verse 4 has already identified light with light. So this verse then is saying that true light is found only in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the second person of the triune Godhead. So Christ is not only the source of light or life for man, he is also the source of true light or true life. This statement acts as a perfect transition into the next truth or into the next section discussed by the Apostle John in verses 10 to 13. But before that, let us note that light and darkness are the recurring themes in John's Gospel. God is light, 1 John 1:5, while Satan is the power of darkness, Luke 22:53. Fallen people in this world love either the light or the darkness. And this love influences their action, which we see in John 3:16-19. Those who believe on Christ are the sons of light, John 12:35-36. Just as the first creation began with, let there be light, so the new creation begins with the entrance of light into the heart of a believer. 2 Corinthians 4:3-6. The coming of our Lord Jesus into the world was the dawning of a new day for sinful men. Luke 1:78-79. The coming of Christ, who is the true light, also brought conflict as the powers of darkness oppose it. A literal translation of John chapter 1 verse 5 reads, and the light keeps on shining in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it or understood it. The Greek word can mean to overcome or to grasp or to understand. So throughout the Gospel of John, you will see both attitudes revealed in the hearts of the people. People will not understand what the Lord Jesus is saying and doing, and as a result, they will oppose Christ. John chapter 7 to right up to chapter 12, records the growth of that opposition, which ultimately led to the crucifixion of Christ. We see in the gospel when Jesus taught a spiritual truth, his listeners could not see the spiritual teaching or the spiritual aspect of his teaching. They interpret it as in a material or a physical way. The light was unable to penetrate the darkness in their minds. This was true when Christ spoke about the temple of his body in John 2 verses 19 to 21. And when Christ spoke of the new birth in John chapter 3 verse 4, the living water in John 4 11, eating of his flesh in John 6 verse 51 and the verses that follows, spiritual freedom in John 8 30 to 36, death as sleep in John 11 verses 11 to 13, and many other spiritual truths. They could not see it. They could only interpret it in a material and a physical way. And they could not understand. Satan strives to keep people in darkness because darkness means death and hell, while light means life and heaven. This fact helps to explain the ministry of John the Baptist. So John was sent as a witness to the Lord Jesus to testify to the people that the light had come into the world. The nation of Israel, in spite of all its spiritual advantages, was blind to their own Messiah. The word witness is a key word in this book. John uses the noun 14 times and the verb 33 times. So John the Baptist was one of the many people who bore witness to Christ Jesus that this is indeed the Son of God. Then we move on to the next section of the passage from verses 10 to 13. In these verses, we have our second thought. Christ, giver of eternal life. Christ, giver of eternal life. The import of this section, of this portion, is to establish that a prime purpose of Christ's earthly ministry was to reconcile man to God. However, this work is only effective for those men and women who appropriate it for themselves through faith. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we now face the mystery of an always existent God in all his three persons. We cannot understand this as we have considered the last time and we came to the conclusion that is truly beyond human comprehension concerning the nature of Christ as fully God and fully man. Neither can we understand the love which caused God the Father to send his Son to earth, nor the sacrifice and the humiliation that the Lord Jesus suffered in coming to earth to save his people. As we study Christ's life, we will see that animals, nature, and many others of God's creation, they all responded to Jesus' command as do the spiritual creation, both demonic and angelic. The only order of creation that refuses to respond to God is the human order. We see then a somber note of rejection. Illogical as it may be, the creation that the Creator came to save alone refuses to subject itself to God. Look at verse 10. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. We see here the desperate wickedness of man's natural heart, the tendency to snuff out God the Creator from his or her own heart, the rejection of God. Why did the nation Israel reject Jesus Christ? Because, we are told, they knew him not. The world knew him not. They were spiritually ignorant. Jesus is the true light, as declared by the scripture. But the But the Jews were blinded by their spiritual pride and self-righteousness. They boasted that they had Moses, the law and the temple and the sacrifices, but they did not comprehend that these lights as in referring to Moses, the teaching of Moses, the law, the temple, and the sacrifices, all these are pointed to the true light, who was the fulfillment, the completion of the Old Testament religion. But thank the Lord that if the vast majority of the Jews did not believe and receive Jesus as the Messiah, there were at any rate a few who did. We thank God for them, for their testimony. And to them, the Lord Jesus gave the privilege of being God's children. As you study John's gospel, you will also find Jesus teaching the people that he is the fulfillment of all that was typified in the law. It is not enough to be born a Jew. They had to be born again, born from above. John chapter 3. Jesus deliberately performed two miracles on the Sabbath to teach them that he had a new rest to give them in John chapter 5 and also in chapter 9. Jesus was the satisfying manna in John chapter 6 and the life-giving water in John chapter 7, 37 to 39. And Jesus is also the shepherd of a new flock in John 10:16. And he is a new vine in John 15. Life is a key theme in John's gospel. It is used 36 times here. And what are the essentials for human life as we know it? There are at least four: light. If the sun went out, everything would die. Next, air, water, and food. And so the Lord Jesus is all of this. He is the light of life and the light of the world. John 8 verse 12. He is the Son of Righteousness, S-U-N, according to the prophet Malachi 4 verse 2. By his Holy Spirit, he gives the breath of life, John 3 verse 8 and John 20 verse 22. And he also gives us not only the breath of life as well as the water of life in John 4 verse 10. And the Lord Jesus is the living bread of life that came down from heaven, John 6:35. He not only has life and gives life, but he is life. In Christ is life, John 14 verse 6. But the people were so shackled by religious tradition that they could not understand spiritual truth. Jesus came to his own world that he had created, but his own people, Israel, could not understand him and would not receive him. They saw his works and heard his words. They observed his perfect life, a sinless life during his earthly ministry. He gave them every opportunity to grasp the truth, believe and be saved. Jesus is the way, but they would not walk with him. He is the truth, but they would not believe him. He is the life, and they crucified him. But brethren and friends, let us not be quick to point a finger at the Jews for their blunders and their unbelief. In today's world, as in the past, there are many sinners who commit those same blunders. John 1 chapter 12 or John 1 verses 12 to 13 gives the marvelous promise of God that anyone who receives Christ will be born again and enter the family of God. Look at verse 12. But as many as receive him, to them give he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of man, or of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. John says more about this new birth in John chapter 3. But he points out here that it is a spiritual birth from God, not a physical birth. And that depends, that a physical birth that depends on human nature, not of that. The light is still shining. The point here for every one of us is that we have to ask ourselves, have you personally received the light and become a child of God? Do you have a personal experiential knowledge of Christ, the true light? Let us receive Christ as our Savior and believe on Him with the heart. To everyone that so receive Christ, He will give the privilege of becoming a son of God. May the Lord help us that we may put our trust in Him and diligently seek after Him. Let us pray. Gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we give thanks to Thee once again for Your word of life. We pray, Lord, that as You have spoken to us, we ask that indeed You will help us, every one of us who have heard Thy word, that we may reflect and to examine our own hearts, whether indeed we are born again, born of the Spirit of God. And Lord, for those who still do not know Thee outside of Thy fold, may Your Holy Spirit will continue to work in their hearts and speak to them and draw them unto Yourself. For those of us who are in union with the Lord Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit, that You will help us, Lord, that we may grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus, that we may set our heart and our mind, our whole being and our soul on the Lord Jesus, that we may live lives, Lord, in this new week which You have so graciously granted to us, lives that glorifies Thy holy name, and to enjoy Thee, that Thy Spirit, Lord, indeed will grant us much grace and strength and wisdom as we go about our various responsibilities and duties in this new week, that Thou will be with us to lead and to guide us and to keep us close to Thee and to help us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom, that we may have a deeper understanding and a sense and consciousness of the brevity of life, and that we may be diligent in considering eternity of our soul. And so, Father, we pray that You will help Thy people as we begin the new week, that Thou will draw nigh to us as we draw nigh to Thee, that Thou will grant much grace and strength, particularly to those of Your children who are weak and who are discouraged, that Thou will strengthen them. And so, Father, we pray that Your presence will be with us in the new week and keep us close to Thee. Hear this, our prayer, for we ask all this in Jesus' name and giving thanks. Amen.